Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today, we have three rounds in the magazine. Round number one, there's been all kinds of people who were killed in Russia this week. Some were former pilots that defected from Ukraine. One of Putin's biggest, I would say the biggest political rival that he had. He went to a place called Polar Wolf. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what Polar Wolf is like. It is hell on earth from what I understand. Absolutely crazy. Number two, we're going to talk about the Major Richard Starr Act that's coming across a lot of members of Congress's desk. I'm going to be going down to the legislative session in D.C. in a couple weeks to be talking with different members of Congress about that. And then finally, I don't remember what the last one was, but it was good. I remember that. China.
Marriage.
China is finally doing what America should have done a long time ago. They're charging people and send them to jail if they fuck a military member's spouse.
Oh.
If you're deployed and you fuck some, it's not the spouse that goes to jail. It's the person fucked. Yeah, it's the Jody. The Jodys are going to jail.
Jody's law.
Yep.
So kind of like that.
I don't mind it either. I really don't. But the thing that I'm excited about most today is to tell you about our new presenting partner, which is the VFW. I've been excited to work with the VFW for a long time. I've done legislative sessions with them. I did it, I think, the last 2 years I've gone out to DC for that. This is going to be great. I want to talk about it because a lot of veterans listen to this and people who are connected to the military and just family members and things like that. The VFW does so many things that I think most people, it pops into your mind, like having the different outposts where people, family members can go and hang out and enjoy some camaraderie together. They have parades that they're around and seen all over the place for different, like Memorial Day, 4th of July, all those different types of holidays. But I think the most important things that they do, one is their service organization, their service officers that they have that will go to the VFW or they'll go to the VA and advocate on your behalf. And they'll teach you how to advocate on your behalf, which I think is absolutely wonderful. You can go to their website, you can contact us, you can DM me and I'll get you in touch with somebody because it'll change your life and it's something that you need. Secondly, they are the biggest proponent of going to Capitol Hill and getting legislation. I'm a firm believer that the PACT Act does not happen without the constant, really, what word am I looking for here? They're constantly not
in a good way.
They're what?
Hassling they're poking around. They're making sure that people are paying attention.
Yeah, they're whipping up some congressional hornet's nest.
What's
that? They're jockeying, champion different aspects like the PACT Act. The PACT Act does not happen without them going around Capitol Hill and working to advocate to get that across the desk. And it finally did get on Biden's desk and he signed it. We hope that there's major legislation that happens like that this year as well. And the main one is the Major Richard Starr Act that we're going to be talking about in round number two. But before we go, if you're on the YouTube or if you're on Rumble, you see, old Katie's back in studio.
Kate? I'm here. I made it.
How are you feeling, Kate?
No more maternity leave. My back's getting a little better day by day. And do you guys notice anything different about me?
I watched you walk into the studio and you looked maybe 86 years old with how you're moving right now. So I'm very sorry for that your back is in that much pain.
Well, it's that I did my part on a different side.
Oh, yes. Different part. Let's see.
I'm wearing a hat.
Yeah, you're wearing a hat.
That was supposed to be my joke. You know, say anything different about my bar. I'm wearing a hat. See, she's back.
She's back in a big way.
80 years old.
She is back in a big way. Were you nervous? Did you have Sunday scaries or Monday scaries yesterday?
No, I was just super looking forward to it. And I thought I was super prepared and it was still a disaster. Your first day getting your kid to daycare and getting all, you guys know how it is, pumping milk and storing up and, you know, all that stuff. So.
If I had a nickel for every time I had to pump these old titteroons.
Man, I tell you what, your nipples.
Oh, chafed.
Sheesh.
In a big way. Chafed and also have dandruff on my nipples.
It's very strange. But I'm thrilled to be back, and I'm so thrilled with the news that the VFW is our main sponsor and everything. So this is just good vibes coming in. Coming back in hot.
I am very excited as well. All right, let's get going with the first round. We're going to go to Russia for this.
Yes. Once again, Putin is ordering his rivals killed. The attacks range from the exotic, poisoned by drinking polonium, laced tea, or touching a deadly nerve agent, to the more mundane, getting shot at close range, getting pushed out a hospital window is a hot one. Over the years, Kremlin political critics, turncoat spies, and investigative journalists have been killed or assaulted in a variety of ways. If it was me, I would prefer an exotic. Like, if I had to choose the way Putin would take me out if I was a dissident there, I want drunk bear driving a car, mowing me down in the street.
Well, that could be arranged, because later on in this round, we're going to go through some of the ways that he has assassinated people. Some of them are crazy, but a vast majority, I'd say 70%.
Drunk
windows.
Bear.
Windows.
Oh, windows. Yeah. Windows. Drunk bears. On Friday, Russian authorities said Vladimir Putin's key political challenger, Alexei Navalny, died in an Arctic prison colony. It's like, sounds crazy that that's a thing in 2024. It feels like an old timey in the Arctic prison colonies. You got sent to
I wouldn't say that Russia is necessarily in the year 2024. They're kind of operating behind the times.
Good point. The details of what happened are unknown. Navalny's team said it was offered no official confirmation on what happened with his death. And Russian authorities say they're establishing why he died. We don't know. It's a mystery. He was fine. His allies previously accused Russian officials of trying to poison him with a nerve agent in 2020.
All right. So I want to tell you a little bit about this prison. Because you guys know I talked a lot about ADX Lawrence. Florence,
went down a big
prison rabbit hole. Uh-huh. Started this whenever I found, the place was called the Polar Wolf is the nickname of the prison.
Which sounds like a fun swim club I'd take my son to.
It really
Chicago.
Does. It sounds Polar Wolf delightful.
Lodge. Yeah.
Are you guys ready to be horrified?
Yes, please.
All right. So Polar Wolf is a prison camp that is 1,040 miles north of Moscow. From Moscow, it would take you 40 hours to drive to that location. It took Alexander? Who's
the man who died?
Yeah.
Navalny.
So it took Navalny 3 weeks to get up there because the terrain is so treacherous. Most post office won't even go to that place. It's on the northernmost part of Siberia, and they don't let you have any type of blankets. They don't let you have clothes at night. You have to sleep on metal. They make you go outside when it's negative 40 degrees Celsius and stand out there in the middle of the winter wearing nothing but a t-shirt and shorts. If you move at all because you're cold or shivering and move your hands together, everybody gets hit with a water cannon and the 30 minutes starts over again.
It's no Paris Island, I'll yeah. tell you that much.
Yeah. Okay. So they do that in the wintertime. And then have you guys ever been to Alaska or anywhere that's really cold like that whenever it starts to warm up?
Not when it starts to warm up, but I've been some pretty cold places.
Yeah. So when it starts to warm up in crazy places like that, that are covered in snow all year long.
Oh, the bugs.
The bugs, the mosquitoes and things like that. Yeah. And that is the similarity between Paris Island, except for these mosquitoes are like pterodactyls.
Yeah.
This kind of place is so remote that there's not documentaries around it. Russia doesn't allow any media. All the things that you could see inside, which there's only like 20 clips available on the internet. It's crazy how little that they have. Only ones that have talked about it are people that know that they're going to die, that they have like really bad cancer or something like that. And usually once you go in, you don't come out.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for each of you. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards, only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I was going to say, it seems like there's nobody left to talk about it.
Yep. So. And if you complain about different things, like if you complain that you think you got frostbite, whatever body part you tell them that you had an issue with, they lop that shit off.
Jeez.
They just cut it off.
Oh my God.
It's so legitimately and crazy.
You pick all your duty stations for Russia and you're like, ooh, the coast of Crimea. And they're like, sorry, you're going to Ice Wolf Lodge, bitch.
Yeah. Novani, the craziest part about that dude, he requested it. When he got sentenced to 20 years, he requested to go there.
Because that's probably where the people who have dissented the most and suffered the most. And he's like, there's a move of solidarity, I'm guessing.
There's only like four or five political prisoners in there. Everybody else is incredibly violent. And they force them to work. They do all kinds of things. It's legitimately seems like hell on earth. But during that, I also came across some other interesting factoids. What country on earth do you guys think has the most incarcerated people per capita?
Here, of course.
Here, by a long shot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed that.
No, it's by a long shot. So, really? So Russia has 360 people incarcerated per 100,000 citizen. San Salvador, El Salvador, has 380 per 100,000. That's the next closest. The United States has 638 out of 100,000 people in prison.
Yeah.
Russia currently have 145 million citizens, 500,000 of which are in prison. The United States has 320 million, and we have 2 million people in prison.
First off,
what would you attribute that to?
Off the top of his head, which just blew my mind. But yeah, because it's a huge business. I was just reading this article about how the privatized prisons are basically sending their prisoners to work for major cereal companies, major corporations across the country doing like the tough work for free. And some of the prisoners are starting to charge it under the statutes that say like, this is slavery.
It is
essentially slavery. And then they're doing all the work for free and the prison owners are getting the kickbacks for the free work these guys are doing. And it's like, it's crazy.
So, and it doesn't sound like slavery seems like it's a crazy word to use, right?
Yeah.
There's one prison in Louisiana called Angola. In Angola prison, they have four or five different mounted on horses guards that go out to cotton fields while the prisoners at that prison, which is 88% black, pull the cotton from the fields.
That's a tough scene. But I will also just not using Angola as the example. If there are people in prison who are in there for life, maybe they're on death row or they have no possibility of parole, and maybe they did horrible, horrible things. Do you really care that we're putting them to work?
I think for me, it's like sort of I do because they're still human beings. You know, like I think that the way that we treat people that are in prison is horrific. Like, because think about where you're at in your life. And a vast majority of those 2 million are drug related.
Right.
Incarceration.
Yeah.
So you have, I don't know how you get around that. I don't know what you do, but one, I think that our justice system is punishment based and we could say it's real rehabilitation based as much as you want. I just don't think that's the case at all. I think it's more punishment based and the crimes it's, like you get longer and longer and longer sentences. I mean, when you think about drugs, like there was a dude named Hearns that used to play for the Cowboys. He got 40 years for running drugs. 40 years seems like a crazy long time.
Yes, that is quite a long time.
But the amount of people that you affect in your life and things like that, it's not an easy situation to deal with. But twice as many per capita of any other country on earth is nuts, no matter which way you cut it. I thought that was interesting.
The only thing I would say in retort to your stance, Chaps, is I do think there are some people in prisons who have committed such heinous crimes that they are subhuman and they don't deserve to be treated as humans because what they've done is so abhorrent and disgusting that I don't care how they're treated.
Sure. I don't think we have more of those here than in other countries. I think the numbers are a little goofy, but at least we don't have a Great Wolf Lodge.
No, but we do have ADF warrants, which I think you could say is bad, pretty on par. All right, let's keep going.
Okay, so assassination attempts against foes of Putin have been common during his nearly quarter of a century in power. Those close to the victims and the few survivors have blamed Russian authorities, but the Kremlin has routinely denied involvement. So here's some overview of the political opponents and how things went for them. August 2020, Navalny fell ill after a flight from Siberia to Moscow. plane landed in the city of Omsk, where Navalny was hospitalized in a coma. 2 days later, he's airlifted to Berlin, where he recovers.
You know why it's called Omsk? Because it have a huge techno scene where it's like Omsk, 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 Omsk.
This is, I'm sure this is great. This is where you come for your news.
Yeah.
His allies almost immediately said he was poisoned, but Russian officials denied it. Labs in Germany, France, and Sweden were like, yeah, no, you absolutely were poisoned by a Soviet-era nerve agent known as Novichok.
Yeah, and they didn't seem to go out of their way to cover that up.
No.
Like, if you... They wanted people to know. Yeah. Like, if you're going to poison something, you might want to get, like, import it, yeah. Right? Like, import it a little bit so it covers up your tracks. They do not give a shit if they get caught.
No, they don't. And it was applied to his underwear.
Yeah.
Navalny returned to Russia and was convicted last August of extremism and was sentenced to 19 years in prison. It was his third conviction with a prison sentence in 2 years. He said the charges were politically motivated. And this is, like, I know we're, like, joking around and everything, but set of cojones. On that fellow.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think I could be that brave.
His wife is the one taking over now. She took over the organization and she's leading the political process now.
Yeah.
Like, to do that is crazy. And he voluntarily came back from Germany.
Yeah.
Like, he had escaped and went back to Germany or went back to Moscow.
Seeing people like out protesting for him, knowing what happened to him, also a lot of cojones.
Getting
on those
their asses beat in the street. Like, legit asses beat.
Oh, yeah. So on Friday, Russia's Federal Penitentiary Service said Navalny felt unwell after a walk and lost consciousness. An ambulance arrived, but he could not be revived. They said his cause of death was being established. And honestly, we're never going to know what happened to him.
Nope.
But we know. In 2018, Peter Verzilov,
nailed it,
founder of protest group Pussy Riot, fell severely ill and was also flown to Berlin, where doctors said poisoning was highly plausible. He eventually recovered. Earlier that year, Verzilov embarrassed the Kremlin by running onto the field during soccer's World Cup final in Moscow with three other activists to protest police brutality. His allies said he could have been targeted because of his activism.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of death that has happened, like the leader of the Wagner Group, I'm sure you remember, where they put a bomb on his plane.
Yep, that was fucking crazy.
And it got taken down. What was that show that it was like that? Do you remember, Cons? It was a military show. Was it Homeland that did that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Homeland. It was kind of like a Homeland situation where as soon as they took off, it went back. And that was this dude. What was his name? Yevgeny Prigozhin. I hate it when we have Russian names on here. I failed Russian in college simply because of that. And that's written.
Why'd you take Russian in college?
Because I failed Spanish and French. Because, like, because it was post brain injury. And I was like, I said, I looked up easiest languages to learn.
Yeah.
Russia's a class 2 language. It should be.
I don't believe that.
We are a class 5. English is a class 5. And like of all the other major countries, we have the hardest. English is the hardest to learn simply because it's a melting pot. But when I tried Russian, dude. Everything looks the same. I don't know how they say it's the easiest, one of the easiest.
I was talking to somebody recently, or maybe I was reading something or watching something. I don't know. This is just sticking out in my brain, but how different cultures in their brain, they can't pronounce certain sounds. So for people in Russia, they see that gentleman's name and it comes off the tongue very easy. Whereas our brains and our culture is different such that we just don't know how to pronounce certain sounds.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I love following this one TikTok account from this country, a small village in Africa. And it's one of the languages they use clicking. You know, I think Swahili uses clicking a little bit, but this country or this tribe is really intensive. I try to mimic the sounds that they make. Not even close.
Oh, yeah.
Not even remotely close. Not in the same hemisphere.
Mm. Well, that wasn't the only one. There's a whole big list of them. Maxim Kuzminov, he was a Russian helicopter pilot. He defected to Ukraine, got shot dead in Spain. Once again, Russia was like, what? Are you kidding?
What?
I don't know. How did that? What? Us? Who did this? We're all trying to find the guy who did this. But yeah, he had been featured in a documentary, Downed Russian Pilots, which aired on Ukrainian TV September 2023. The film revealed how the landing was planned and carried out in Kuzminov called on other Russian pilots to follow his lead. But yeah, like basically probably not the best idea too.
Yeah. And so some of the other different types of deaths that they've had, I mean, you have, what is their name? Kate, can you read that?
Gobi.
There's okay. Well, there's one person was found dead after falling from a window on the 16th floor of a high rise. Another person reportedly fell to his death from a balcony while officials from the investigative committee executed a search warrant. So he happened to just fall off the balcony while they were doing a search warrant.
You got
to
stay on the first floor. You know, you pissed off the Kremlin.
Yep. Another guy was found in the street after an apparent fall from his high-rise building.
Businessman.
Yep. Yeah. Another guy was reportedly hospitalized for heart problems and depression that led him to fall out of a window. Another guy died at a hospital. Another guy died at a hospital by getting hit by a car crossing a street. Another guy was buried alive after falling asleep with after falling asleep with a cigarette. A wife and two sons were found dead beside him. On and on it goes. There was a list. I looked up a list on Wikipedia, and there was a list of, I shit you not, 120 to 150 different types of stories like this, yeah. Like main political opponents of what's going on in Russia. They all end up dead in this way.
I'm surprised with people being held back so hard and like killed and murdered and all this stuff. Like, I'm surprised there haven't been any assassination attempts on Putin yet. Because yeah. He's been there for so long and so many, he's so hated by so many. Like, I'm surprised that, I don't know.
I'm surprised too. I mean, I guess what do you do? It's right. I think we look back at history with a little bit of a lot of hindsight bias. Like when you look at Germans in World War II, like how did you not know that Hitler was going to do this? How was everybody complicit in this?
Well, they were all behind him. They agreed with him. That's part of it.
But that takes a while. Like that brainwashing of a population takes a long time to do. Like it started in 1936 and then it didn't really pop off until 5 years later, whenever Hitler had put in all those seeds that Jewish people were bad, Black people were bad, people with mental disabilities were bad, all those different types of things. I think that's what's happened in Russia.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I'd be too much of a pussy probably to do anything. I'd like to have that Mark Wahlberg thinking, like I would stop the 9/11 plane.
Well, there's nothing stopping you from saying it. You know, you're never going to have to prove it.
You're right.
It.
I want to prove it. Yeah, I would stand up to Putin if I was there.
Yeah, you totally would.
Did you see that Canadian family that was like, we're tired of how all these progressive Canadian politics, we're going to raise our family the traditional way. This just happened this like last week. So the dad and the wife take their two kids over to Russia and they have this GoFundMe set up and they're making a ton of money from people who are supporting them moving to Russia where the conservative views or whatever their Russia's version of conservative views, not comparing there to here or anything like that. But it turns out there Russia seized all their funds and was like, the GoFundMes are ours. And so then they made a video being like, help, we're stuck in Russia with no money and they've taken everything. And then they put out another video. That video disappeared. And they're like, we were wrong about what we said. We're still so glad to be here. Everything's fine and we're loving it. It was like a very forced whatever. Anyways, Google Canadian family, Russia. It's a fascinating story.
Not only that, but old Tucker Carlson was in Russia a couple, like last week or something like that. And Jon Stewart's back on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
There was a big clip of him talking about what Tucker was. Did you guys watch that? Did you see some of the documentary or the interview that clips. Tucker posted?
I think it looked kind of like this.
Yeah, it was absurd. He was going around to different spots in Moscow and saying why Moscow is a better city than any of our big cities here in America. And one of the reasons why he went to the subway. Oh. Yeah, he went to like the subway system, not like the sandwich shop, but he went to the subway area and he was like, look at all the art here. It doesn't stink. Which I think that's a fair
valid.
Point. Fair
yeah,
point.
Valid.
But then he went to the grocery store and he was like, you have to put 10 rupees into the grocery store to get your cart. So it makes you come back. Like, brother, that's called Aldi's. Like we have that. And then he's like, the bread is so good and goes up and sniffs the bread. We got bread here too.
We do. It smells great.
And Jon Stewart made the point. He was like, I got all this groceries, all this that my family could eat off for a week. And it was only $100. And Jon Stewart was like, You didn't say the whole thing, though, Tucker, because the average person only makes $200 a week. So right. If your groceries are $100 a week, that doesn't leave you with a whole lot of money for other things.
Right. Yeah.
So
wacky.
Yeah.
Russia, Russia, Russia. Mm-hmm. Those girls are just catching our attention.
And then one of the most ridiculous aspects of that, President Trump said that he's basically been treated like Yovani, too.
Love it.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's true. How about this $400 and something million that he has to pay?
Again,
he's
it's not real.
Pay any of that.
Right. Yeah. It's not real.
Yeah, it's not real money. Yeah, it's not real money. You guys are right.
I like the shoes, the gold shoes
there. The gold shoes were fire.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to round number two, the Major Richard Starr Act.
Yes, the Major Richard Starr Act would provide total offset relief to veterans who suffered combat injuries or illnesses who were medically retired with less than 20 years of service. The passage of the Major Richard Starr Act would reduce the number of people still waiting total concurrent receipt of their earned military retirement pay and VA disability compensation. Break this down for me, Barney style.
All right. So the Major Richard Starr Act, what they're trying to do, and I'll use myself as an example, which I do feel like weird advocating for something that benefits me personally.
You shouldn't. You got shot.
So like the things that benefit me personally would be the Major Richard Starr Act. So you guys know I loved being in the Marine Corps.
Yes, you would have stayed in.
I would have
whole heart.
Absolutely stayed in. I would have tried to be the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. I was ate the fuck up about being a Marine.
Yeah.
So when I found out that I was getting retired, it was crushing, like legitimately crushing. There was nothing else I wanted to do at that point. This was a job I loved. I didn't want to go to school to try to get a different job for my family. I thought I made a decent wage at that time. It was what I wanted to do. And I found out that I was getting retired and it crushed me. It took away my career. I didn't know. Luckily I bounced back and I'm here and I wouldn't change anything for any reason at all, but it still hurt, man. Mm-hmm. And then I found out that the VA, well, one, I didn't know any of this stuff. Like when you're in, I don't think you have any idea what's going on with the disability system. You don't have any idea what's going on in the retirement system. And in fact, I bet you, if you asked most people, 95% of the military, if you ask them, how is your retirement calculated after you've been in not 20 years, but 23 years? How is your retirement calculated? They have absolutely no idea. So the Major Richard Starr Act is designed for people like me who were retired early, didn't have the opportunity to serve 20 years, but still was retired underneath the laws of the DOD. And so you no longer are able to double dip, is what they had called it for a long time, where you get your money from the VA, where you're 100% disability or over 50% disability. And then you have your retirement money. So when I was going through to get retired, like in the actual, like talking to the people at Wounded Warrior Battalion, they held up two different options. One of which was, I believe that it was 60% of my active duty base pay in the military, not BAH, not anything like that, but just your basic pay, 60%. The other side for me was 100% disability. So obviously the 100% disability is like $4,200 a month. And then I have the combat kicker because I was injured in a combat zone. So it's like $650 extra a month there. Whereas the retirement from the Marine Corps would be like $600 a month. So it's an absolute no-brainer at that point, or like $1,100 or something like that, but not even close to consideration.
Okay.
So with this act, you would get both. You would be able to get the full retirement, which the Marine Corps says that I had earned, like that I had earned that level of retirement. Because remember, they're two totally different departments.
Right. Yep.
One's the Department of Veterans Affairs and one is the DOD. And they're two totally different pools of money altogether.
Yeah.
The DOD would pay your retirement and the VA pays your disability. So you would get both of those under the Major Richard Starr Act. And there's a ton of people not like me. This is where it is different and probably the reason why I can advocate. A lot of people with that same level of disability cannot work. They can't do much of anything.
Right.
They or their mental state is not in a place where they can do it. So that being said, I think this is why it needs to go into place, because people deserve a quality of life. And if you went to a combat zone for your country. Your country should take care of you and not try to get out of little things. So I believe that the Major Richard Starr Act is wonderful, and it's something that I'm looking forward to advocating for whenever I go there. And I'm so pumped to do it with the VFW. Some of their people in the headquarters there in DC, the legislative headquarters, they work so hard, man.
Yeah.
Like the amount of information that they have to do. Imagine how really beat down you would have to seem, like, to all the injustices that happen to different veterans across
We've
the board.
About it. You kind of get burned out on it almost because you get so, like, it's overwhelming kind of. So
you get disenfranchised.
Yeah.
But those people that are at the VFW,
tireless,
they're not doing that. They are working every single day to make sure that all of us who wore the uniform get exactly what we deserve. We're going to be talking about a lot of the initiatives that the VFW does over the next couple weeks. I think it's incredibly important to know those, to keep you informed, to keep you abreast of what's going on in the veteran community. Go ahead, Cons.
Sorry, it's just ever more important now with all those companies out there that are just basically saying to veterans, hey, we'll come do your disability claim. And it's very predatory environment, and they take a massive percentage and they don't even get you maybe what you deserve. And it's like a factory for disabled veterans, and they just, you know, make you do all the work sometimes, and then they still want a percentage. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So I can speak now from experience, like working with the VFW on a claim. Prior to this, I've done everything on my own. And even, you know, I like to think I'm fairly educated. It's still complicated, and I've learned more as I've gone. But now working with the VFW has made life so much easier. And I would just encourage everybody, when you Google like disability help, stop Googling disability help, because a billion law firms and companies are going to pop up.
They all stink.
And they try to make it look so legit, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, so legit.
And it's oftentimes veterans running them who are preying on other veterans. They know the lingo. They know how to talk to you. They know how to reel you in.
And that's
you think, oh, it's another veteran. They're not going to do me wrong. False.
Oh, big time. Anyway, they'll do you wrong.
Like, I have a buddy who's a Marine, and he's sitting at 88% retired and in the state of New Jersey. So he's 90% in the state of New Jersey. In order to get exempt from taxes, you need to be 100. So he's trying to get to 100 and he deserves it. And I told him about working with the VFW. He's like, oh, I was working with this company and they were telling me how much money I was going to have to pay them to work with them. And I was like, no, dude, just work with the VFW. Forget all those companies. Just reach out to your local VFW. Mm-hmm. They will help you.
Yep, without a doubt. Well said, Cons. All right, let's move on to round number three, where we can get rid of Jody's, or like China did.
My goodness. There are certain things, whether it's our enemies or maybe other militaries you think we wouldn't mesh with, but there's certain things that unite us all, isn't there? I like to think of every country's lower enlisted sitting in a smoke pit bitching, you know? And I like to think of every country's military spouses out there getting it when their loved one is away.
Yep. So I'll tell you about this story and what happened. There was a guy who is stationed away from his spouse. He's about 5-6 hours away from his spouse.
In China?
Yeah, and had been. And they're like on, when you're in the military there, you're not allowed to bring your family to your post. So your family stays where you're from.
Yeah.
And then you're only allowed to go visit them every now and then. Mm-hmm. So 2 years away from your spouse is pretty average before you can go back home and see them. Well, one woman, she wasn't having that. She needed, I'll say it, she needed some dick in her life, which, I mean, occasionally
two
you do.
2 years, dude, that's
a long time.
That's a long time.
It's a super long time without having any type of sexual relationship at all. Well, she came across a fella who has a certain name of Ma, and Ma and her got it on. They got along well. Not only that, but they did get it on the first day they met.
Ooh.
Now, I could see sometimes, I'm against adultery in every way, shape, or form.
We were all
23 once. Yeah, we were all 23. Even though I would have been faithful even at 23 because I have integrity. That's what you guys know. So she met this guy, made sweet, passionate love to him over and over again.
Reverse cowgirl?
Reverse cowgirl. They did 69 even. Uh-uh. I think pegging. Which that's not my cup of tea, but
Abe Lincoln.
I don't know what's an Abe Lincoln.
Oh, buddy, you get a little come on your face, and then you rip your pubes out, and make a little beard.
No, that wasn't one of it. That's okay. I don't think that was part of it.
Huh.
Welcome back, Kate.
Cruise. Huh?
Yeah. So I forgot. Abe Lincoln. How have I not heard of Abe Lincoln?
I don't know.
That's a good
you
one.
Have a top hat on.
And I got real puby beards. I can rip my beard. If my wife happened to listen to this the first time, I'm sorry, honey. That's not what we
do. Can we keep going? Sorry.
Yeah, we'll keep going. Yeah. Good call, Cont. So this guy, he is told by the spouse, like by the wife, that this is against the law. He could go to prison for doing something like this. So he's like, whoa. This guy breaks it off. He's like, I don't want to go to fucking jail for some strange. I'll go find somebody else to hook up with. Well, he liked her cooch so much. He went back, double dipped into the well.
Also, there's something a little exciting about it when you know you could go to prison.
Yeah, a little prison goofing. Yeah. You're a little prison goofing. So whenever he came back, she was like, fuck it, let's live together. So she moved into his house and then they moved back into her house once his rent went up. So he was living in the house of the military member. That guy had video cameras. He finally got to an area that there was Wi-Fi, checked in on his video cameras and saw the recordings of them. He at that time of them, they were doing it. So he did screen recording.
This is the worst day of my life.
So he screen recorded everything and sent it to the authorities. The authorities came over the next day, arrested him, and he's getting 10 months in prison for it.
Damn. Oh, 10 months for good pussy.
Yeah. I think sometimes you got to make decisions for people, and people won't make the right decision for themselves. So you need to put parameters in place to prevent them from making decisions. And if that means you need to put people in jail for making the wrong choice and being an adulterer, so be it.
Wow.
You'll be damned.
Yeah.
Jody's beware.
It's hard to argue, Cons. I'm not a huge adultery guy by any means, but
never have been. Never have been,
never will be.
No, I'm a huge adultery guy. I do love it.
But the reason why China says that they do this is they say it's hard enough to be a military member whenever you're just in and your spouse is supportive. It's much, much harder to maintain your focus whenever you're worried about your spouse doing something nefarious behind your back. And this might be the first time I believe with the People's Republic of China.
Yeah. Like, no, that's got to be so nerve-wracking to in the back of your mind. You know, I think a lot of people who deploy, they don't worry about their spouse back home doing something outside of their marriage. But I think there's probably a good amount that do.
And put a percentage
on it. You're trying to focus.
Put a percentage on it.
I'm gonna put 38%. I think 38%.
Caveat on this.
Okay.
If they can prove that the spouse who is deployed has not sent flowers or letters.
Oh, we're not going to victim shame, Kate.
Or been calling or been paying attention to their loved one back home, and the loved one has reason to claim neglect.
He doesn't even have Wi-Fi, Kate.
He can do snail mail.
You don't know that.
Or he could arrange in advance.
A lot of presumption.
For things to arrive at the house. Fruit roll-up underpants. Something a little exciting.
Abraham Lincoln top hat.
Your engines. Abraham Lincoln top hat.
Just to perhaps. Get ready for whenever he comes perhaps. Back. What do you think the percentage of American troops are nervous that their spouse or partner is cheating on them while they're gone?
I wasn't nervous at all. But turns out I was way wrong.
I think it's like 80-85%.
Yeah.
No, I do not think it's that high.
Look at the divorce rate in the military. The divorce rate in the military is 67%.
Hello.
67% if you're on active duty in the military. If that's the case and you're getting divorced, you're getting some strange.
All right. So if we're talking, all right. So that's like 2/3. Okay. I would argue that 1/3 of those 2/3 are getting out because they can't deal with the military lifestyle anymore. I would say argue that of the 2/3 getting divorced, only 1/3 would get divorced because of infidelity, thus making my number a little more accurate.
Infidelity wasn't the question. It was nervous about infidelity going on. And if
okay,
you know
semantics.
You're,
I
if,
think
no, it's
third.
Not. If you know you're getting a divorce, I think you're even more concerned that your spouse is cheating on you. Because you have that vindictive nature. Yeah. I think everybody does.
I read this short story once that I don't think it was a fake story, but I didn't like the idea of it. but it was about a year-long army deployment, and the soldier thought that his wife was cheating on him. So, you know, you got that week-long leave halfway through where you could come home for a week. He spent his entire week, he didn't tell her he was coming home, hiding in his basement to see if she was cheating on him, and then he went right back to Iraq.
Jeez.
And he told her, he was like, I'm going to go somewhere in Europe. And instead, he's like crouched under his basement stairs. He like came in through the basement window and listened the whole time.
See, that guy deserves to be cheated on.
Yeah.
If you're that person, you deserve to be cheated on.
A fun short story to read. But yeah, no, not chill behavior.
No, not chill at all. No. All right. Let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Cons, what you got?
I have two things very quickly. I'm not gatekeeping.
Zero Block 30 is sponsored by BetterHelp. A common misconception about relationships is they have to be easy to be right. But sometimes the best ones happen when people both put in the work to make them great. Therapy can be a place to work through your challenges you face in all of your relationships, whether it's friends, work, your significant other, or anyone. I've told you a million times I'm a huge therapy guy. I wouldn't be the person that I am without it. I'm calmer. I'm more collected. I feel like whenever I need to talk to somebody that I do that. Even though I have a great support system like my spouse and my family, I still need somebody professional because they're going to come at it from an unbiased position without any presuppositions about who I am or what I've been doing. They're going to listen to me. They're going to explain the reason why I'm feeling that way. And they're also going to give me some great coping skills along the way. If you're thinking about starting therapy, you need to give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Become your old soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/zero today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/zero.
I have two things very quickly. I'm not gatekeeping, okay? I'm just talking about something that bothers me currently.
Oh, boy. Here comes a West Point thing.
Mm-hmm. No, no, it's a military thing for all of us. The phrase that has permeated our society in the last, like, 6 months that I can't stand listening to people use.
I'm excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
Boots on the ground. Like people who have no affiliation with the military whatsoever, they love boots on the ground because it's a cool saying. But when you peel it back, you're like, boots on the ground, like, well, that means combat. I'm sorry, Susie. You make copies for a living. You're not boots on the ground. All right. So I don't know.
Rick. Susie or Rick.
Or Rick. Susie or Rick.
Corporate jargon now. I feel like corporate America is really leeching in on our good sayings over here.
Well, you know what it is, Kate? All of the GWAT leadership has now transitioned into leadership companies where they go and they talk to these big corporations and they use their jargon. And then, you know, Timmy, who talks about all the time, like, I was going to join the military, but I didn't. And now he's 50 and he works in corporate America. But he really wishes he had joined the military. Mm-hmm. So he just talks all the time about military movies and uses all the jargon because he thinks that's cool. Or he's like really obsessed with David Goggins. Yeah. Those people.
Oh, yeah.
Chill out. All right.
Business speak in general drives me nuts.
And they love, you know what they love to do with military jargon? They said, look.
And they also love synergy.
Oh, yeah.
They do be slobbing on it, Kate. They really do.
We should start a consulting firm where we just go and say, like how Donnie taught classes in China. But it was just,
yes.
We should just go teach, say, military jargon at corporations. And they'd be like,
I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure I've said this idea before. We should do some sort of consulting somewhere. There's a fit for us somewhere.
Let us know if you want us to consult.
I mean, you tell me a Google meeting wouldn't go great if somebody said, stop looking at me like I got a dick grown out of my forehead.
Oh. You'd be king.
the next Apple town hall.
Yeah. What am I, out in left field with a football bat?
Yeah. Yeah. I want every swing and dick and flap.
Hey, they're fucking kitchen gloves.
Right. Amen.
That would be great. Anything else, Con?
Turtleneck. Yeah. So I guess the next phase of my life now, of things that I have to look forward to, you know, first it's, everybody's graduating school and then it's bachelor parties and then it's weddings. Now I'm starting to enter the 40th birthday era of my life. I got one this weekend. Yeah. So, It's cool too, because like by the time you're 40, most people have their, you know, proverbial shit together, so they can throw a nice party.
Because one person always goes too far.
Yeah. Oh yeah, one person's like, been cooped up with three kids and hasn't been out socially in 6 months, and they just let it loose. But I'm excited for all the 40th birthdays I got coming up.
Oh hell!
I was shocked that at PFT's vacation thing that we went to with all of his buddies, nobody tied it on too much.
Yeah, that's shocking.
It was shocking.
That is shocking.
Well, I'll tell you what. You'd be surprised. Well, that's not true. But I think a lot of times with golf trips, people don't get as nuts as they would at any other trip.
That's exactly right, Con. That's what kept us in line.
It's focused on golf, so you don't want to wake up and feel like trash and play like trash because you're paying all this money to play a great course. So you want to, you know, still have a good time, drink beers and drink beers into the evening, but you don't want to get so hammered that you ruin the golf aspect of the trip, which is the whole point.
Midnight was my cutoff. Yeah. Which I think it was basically everybody's cutoff, which was awesome. Anything else, Cons?
That's it.
Catherine?
I don't think I have anything. It feels good to be back. I have we did a soft launch this week. My baby is with my relatives who live here. So that feels so much better than dropping them off with a stranger at daycare, which still feels surreal thing to do. So we're doing a soft launch this week into next week. So that's good. Still going to PT, getting strong. I'm there with like a million little old ladies.
You're moving a lot better the last time I saw you in person.
Oh my God. I'm moving so much better. I got air needling.
What does that mean?
It's not, you know, they put all the needles in your back, but it's not
like acupuncture.
It's like acupuncture, but not quite. I don't know. They put jam needles into your muscles. And
I did acupuncture like 3 times. That's the most worthless shit ever.
I'm all about placebo. I'm like, I don't even care. The lady was like, do you want to do it? Do you want to know what it does? I was like, I don't give a fuck. Put them in me. I was like, you don't have to tell me nothing. Let's go for it. So I can tell myself it works. And I swear I felt better that afternoon.
Well, I'm
glad. You give me sugar pills. Tell me the sugar pills. And I'll be like, all right, turn around. Say there's something else. Turn back around. Tell me it's like going to help me. And I'll feel like it helped me.
I could see that.
I'm super dumb.
I could see that. Like, who was it a long time ago? Cons, you might remember. Was it Lewis who there was some weirdo skateboarder dude that came into the office like HQ2 and he like this dude was like a big pill head. And one of the other guys was asking for some of the pills, like he was asking for the pills, gave it to him. He acted like he was high as shit. And then later on, the dude told him that it was just like 200 milligrams of Tylenol. Yeah. And he was like acting like this shit's so strong.
You know,
man,
what a good
I'm so
example?
Fucked up.
Coming into work at the old New York office, the old New York office. Remember when CBD was like coffee and stuff was
happening?
And a CBD coffee shop opened up, and I was like, "Chaps, don't be pissed at me." Where I know we're gonna record this afternoon. I'm sipping a CBD coffee on the train right now. I don't know how. Remember, I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna be when I get there, bro. And in my head, I was like, oh. Turns out.
I also thought CBD had it. I was like, how are they selling this shit at HEB?
Don't do nothing. Huh? It eases. I believe in the right amounts. It can ease and can like have helpful effects. But I wasn't tripping balls like I imagined.
I don't somewhere. Believe that unless we have another advertiser.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said it, not me.
anything Anyways. Else?
No.
No. All right. I had an awesome weekend. Probably one of the best weekends I've had in a long time.
Say it for the haters. What'd you shoot?
Okay. So thank you for opening up the door. Dye Valley.
No one cares what
I'm
you
asking.
Shot.
I
want to
know.
Dye Valley was the hardest course I've ever played. It's so much harder than the one that had that has the 17th hole. Mm-hmm. It's so unbelievably narrow. But the thing that I really loved about it, I've never been on grass that was not that nice.
Yeah.
Like I've been to other really nice golf courses like Torrey Pine and shit like that.
Such a dad. What was the best part?
Torrey's,
the grass cuts there. Were
great. Yeah. Go ahead.
It was awesome. Sorry, I mean, it was a good 2 inches thick of like roots and just you walked on it and it was softer than carpet. It was unbelievable how nice it was. And everybody there was so gracious and so kind to us the whole time. We got to go. One of the coolest parts was in the locker room. They put up different plaques that had our names on them.
Oh, I saw that.
And it was, so that was a really cool thing. I put that in my bag. I'm going to frame that and put it on the desk. And then they have these pewter golf bags, or like golf tags that they put on your bag. And it was so nice. Like they professionally engraved it with my name and all kinds of shit. It was great. Had like a little package for us. It was so much fun, man. And then the only thing I'll say about the actual score. Since Khan's being a hater, I shot 90.
I'm not being a hater, dude. Anybody in the golf world knows that's a common thing. No one cares.
I disagree. I asked all my golf friends that I know, except for you, and everybody was like, "Dude, I want to hear about this round in a big way."
I told my dad, and he was like, "Chap should be so proud of himself. That's such a great score." My dad was pumped for you, Connor.
Yeah. So
on. Kate asked me what I shot when I played there. If we're going to do it, then you might as well ask me, Chaps.
Can't so handle it. I shot a 90 on the stadium course. One of the best rounds I've ever shot. And then the best part of the trip, not scoring well on Sawgrass. I mean, it was awesome. Like, but I didn't like get over the moon about it. Super excited. You guys know me. I don't get like super boisterous. That often. But we played 54 holes over the weekend. The last five holes that I had on this golf course was putting for birdie on the last five and missed the first four, the last one of the entire trip, like an 18 foot birdie, and nailed it. I went fucking
bananas. See, that's part of the story I love. I love that part of the story. That's a nice part.
Yeah, that's great, man. And the coolest thing, we had four other dudes that were there with us. Everybody was so happy because everybody else had a birdie and I missed. I mean, two of the ones that I missed were like by inches, man. Yeah. Like inches went by the hole. And I thought that they were going in and everybody was like, "You're going to get it, dude. You're going to get it." And I was so far away. I was like, "There's no chance that this is going in." And it went in. So I was super happy. It was great, man. It was great. And I finally decided to get a handicap, like to actually sign up and do that thing. But anyway,
it's good. You got to play a lot of golf.
I know. But now that I'm decent, I want to again, like the simulator definitely translated, but I will say it is wrong. Cons, you were wrong. You were right. It is wrong by about 20 yards too little. So whenever I was on the irons, you can shake your head all you want. Ask PFT. I was hitting an attack wedge.
All right, we're going to set up a round. You and me, you versus me.
No, we're not. I don't want to go with you because you're a hater.
No, I'm actually a lot of fun to play with.
I doubt that. They have one.
I got to go, though. I really got to go.
Yeah, we do got to go. It'll be fun. So the attack wedge, I was hitting it like 130.
No, I'm saying I got to go.
Oh, you got to go. Yeah, oh, yeah. He's got to go pick up his baby.
Yes, he's got to go.
Anyways, we all got to go. We'll be back here next week. Sound the retreat.